Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Nick Augustine here with Sam Zanayed, and this is the Healthcare Consultants Podcast, brought to you by the Chicago Health Law and Professional Licensing Firm of Michael V. Fabia and Associates. Again, this is your host, Nick Augustine, and today our guest, Sam Zanayed from Huntington National Bank, is going to tell us all about financing for dentists, doctors, and veterinarians. Sam is dedicated to helping the doctors, dentists, and veterinarians fund construction, upgrades, and the growth of healthcare practices in the Chicago area. Let's say good morning to Sam.
Good morning.
Well, Sam, we're doing well, and you know, as I every time we talk about money and recovery from coronavirus and everything else, I think back to 2008. And a friend of mine who was working in, she was staffing professional practices and different things. And she was involved in a lot of chambers of commerce and talked to a lot of people. And it, one thing that I learned from talking to her was that people like the collective fear and freak out. Who's doing well in business? Who's not doing well? What's going to happen with this? What's going to happen with that? And the people who always... Well, the end-all be-all was a comment she made that the grass is greenest where you water it, because people tend to say, oh, I'm going to jump over here, I'm going to jump over there, but the grass is greener where you water it. And I always kind of hung on to that as a very good statement. So as we come out of everything going on with the pandemic and all, there's a lot of opportunities there for doctors, dentists, and vets who want to take their practices somewhere, grow it, do this, take advantage of movement locally, but there's a lot of opportunity there. So are you ready to jump into it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you hit it right on the spot. You know, it's really, you know, we have 2008, we had the pandemic, so there's been a lot of things that's kind of disrupted, you know, some of the natural business flow that, you know, we're all used to doing. And it's really kind of that idea is, you know, we put a pause on things, and, you know, are things going to recover? Are things going to rebound? And do we look at it differently now than we did before? Has the technology changed? As we all know, you know, going through COVID, you know, we had a big jump in technology and how we do things, whether it's people working from home, Zoom, telehealth. And, you know, a lot of things has actually helped in some ways, you know, improve things going forward. And it's really important to kind of look at some of those changes that have been made throughout the pandemic and how do we adjust to it. But yeah, there's a ton of opportunities for doctors. And I would say when there's always things that happen in this world that we can't control, there's always opportunities that are out there as well. And it's good to, you know, talk to your banker, talk to your accountant, talk to your attorney, get on podcasts and listen, as you know, you might find something that you probably didn't think of.
It's very true that people who do well are flexible. I listened to a TED Talk one time, and they talked about being flexible with the demands of the market being such a key part of success. And for example, a friend of mine who is a family lawyer also does other transactional and other types, other legal areas. And he says when divorce is down, the other thing is up. So there's a lot of people who out there who know that when one thing is going to be down, something else is going to be up. So, you know, while you might have a rush of all the kids going back to school to get all their dental work done, it's like, what do we do? You know, how does a dentist, you know, prepare for the, you know, towards the holiday months? You know, what types of things drive people into there? There's a lot of that thinking that goes on. Anyways, there's a lot of thought, a lot of people out there with a lot of resources on how to grow these businesses, and you're here to help unlock the money. And as far as I understand, for a while, we're going to have very affordable money, and it's time to get things done and grow. So tell us a little bit about yourself personally and your position there as Vice President of Healthcare Practice Finance at Huntington National Bank.
Thank you so much. So, yeah, I've been in the banking business ever since I was 18 years old. Didn't think I was going to actually stay within banking, but it stuck through me throughout college, and my career really blossomed. And I fell in love with just kind of working with business owners in general, something that my father was a business owner. And when I was working in the bank, I saw that side of the bank where, you know, it was really interesting working with people and seeing how they grow and stuff like that. Throughout my career, my niche became within healthcare. And that's really, I've always wanted to, I was always interested in medicine and medical and veterinarians, and I got to do it along with my banking experience. So it's really been a really pleasure to work with doctors and dentists and vets out there in the marketplace. So I've been doing this for a long time, I'm here with Huntington. And Huntington really is one of the national leaders, I would say, when it comes to dental, medical, and veterinarian finance. They look at the scope is, you know, when we get a deal across the table, why shouldn't we approve a deal? So they really have the doctor in mind. They have a really great concept. David Birch, who is my boss, has created the group, and he's really done a wonderful job in the 4 years that he's been here at Huntington, and Huntington's growing really fast. So to kind of, you know, answer some of your questions in regards to, you know, the pandemic and, you know, what do I do here is I essentially help clients that are looking to acquire a practice, expand on an existing practice, start up a new practice, refinance an existing practice, anything doing with the real estate, if they're looking to purchase a building along with their practice. It's things that we help them on a daily basis. And it's quite an enjoyable experience to see when a first-time doctor is buying a practice, because dentists are really good at doing what they do, which is practice. But becoming a business owner is a different aspect. It's something that they were not taught in school. Some dentists, some doctors, you know, have a better, I would say, background when it comes to business, and some don't. So it's always kind of talking over with the doctor and you know, going through all the steps. You know, what are your fears? What are things that are you concerned about? What are some of the risks? What are some of the pros? And we really have this one-on-one dialogue. And I think it's really important to talk to your banker first. One of the things we don't charge for, obviously, having these conversations. We're not like I would say a CPA or maybe an attorney where they charge by the hour. We just simply do this as goodwill to the client, value added, as we like to call it, and just kind of making sure that the doctor is doing the best thing for him and his family. And he's making the right decision. You know, we look at it at more of a risk perspective. We advocate for the buyer to making sure that they're going to be successful in growing their practice, purchasing their practice, expanding their practice. And those are some of the things that I do here at Huntington. We do work with a lot of partners out there in the field of small world. So whether it's working with dental societies, working with other CPAs and attorneys that are very specific to healthcare, I would say, is some of the partners that we do work with out there in the marketplace.
Okay. Question. What do you say to someone who says, I like that you do what you do there at Huntington and that you have a specialty in healthcare finance. However, my accounts and all my relationships I currently have with something in some aspect is at some other bank, but maybe that mm-hmm. bank doesn't particularly specialize in really – you know, anything other than just general loans. I'm sure that conversation mm-hmm. pops up every now and then. Tell me how that goes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everybody does have a banking relationship. They might have it just on the personal side, and everybody's first inclination is to let me talk to my bank that I have my relationship with. And that's really important. I mean, I think the bank that you work with should be able to help you, but not all banks do specialize in healthcare financing. So that's just important to know that you can go to your local bank and say, and they might be able to help you. They might be not. They might not able to. But it just really depends on if they have a specialty or not. So are all banks created equal? Not so much, right? Some banks are better at certain things than other banks. At Huntington, they're known for having a strong practice finance group. I can't say the same that not every bank does have a specialty financing group. What are the advantages of working with a bank that does have it? Well, it's we understand the transaction, right? We understand the doctor that's an associate that's looking to buy a practice and what goes into it. So we have our underwriters that are specialized in healthcare, so they understand the transaction. It's all they do. So they're not working on a manufacturing deal, they're working on a dental deal. They're strictly working on healthcare deals. So when we explain what the doctor is looking to do, the underwriters understand it. They understand it, and they're not going to come back and ask maybe 8,000 questions. They will ask some questions, right? But it's not going to be overwhelming. So we like to make the process, when we understand doctors' lives are very busy, so we do take that into account. We make it easy to apply, you know, easy to get a decision, possibly an approval, hopefully we're looking for, and easy to close on. So our parameters that we like to set is 3 to 5 days for approval, 30 days for closing, non-real estate, 45 days with real estate. There are also other advantages that we have that, you know, for dentists, doctors, and veterinarians, that we do that other banks are not going to understand. So they might have an existing bank. If they go to their bank and their bank says, yes, we can help you, absolutely. They might not be a healthcare banker. They might be just a general banker. And they're submitting their deals, and they're probably asking maybe a lot more questions than a doctor doesn't know the difference, right? So they didn't do their homework. They just went to the local bank. So, and they're kind of going back and forth a million times, and we need this, and we need this, and we need this. And then, you know, by the time the process is over, the doctor is worn out and say, wow, I felt like, you know, that was like surgery in a way. So we like to make the experience a simpler experience, something that they know. And plus, the most important thing is get the job done for the doctor that they're looking to do, and not ruin any potential opportunity. Now, when you're dealing with it, you know, financing, there's a lot of people involved in the process. You know, you have your CPA, you have your attorney, you may have a consultant, you may have a broker involved. So when you come into the financing aspect of it, you know, everybody is kind of trying to do their job and working well together. And if the bank is kind of clogging up that funnel, it does disrupt a lot of that process and delay a lot of things. So you got to be cognitive of who you're working with and how to get the job done and on a smooth process, and like not just to make your client happy, but kind of make everybody happy. But we do advocate for the buyer, and we want to make sure that experience is well received.
Absolutely. Well, I can appreciate the value as a healthcare practitioner, especially a dentist or doctor who understands that I have a financial group here who understands my needs, understands that my expected receivables are going to be what they're going to be, that we can move forward and do a lot of great things. Now, there's a lot of special concerns involved with doctors and especially dentists when we talk about buying and selling dental practice groups and the dental service organizations and such. So what are some of the special concerns doctors and dentists have when it comes to financing their practice growth?
Well, they want to make sure. So one of the things is, a doctor will come to us for financing. What a lot of doctors don't really think about is what's going to happen after I get the loan approved. What's the next step? Most doctors just think, hey, I just want to get the loan approved. Hey, help me. Great. Now what? Well, now you're running your practice. Well, you still need that additional support from your bank. It's something that Huntington does that I'm not sure if other banks are as intuitive as. But one of the things we do is we have, and actually for a first-time doctor or someone who's doing a startup, is we have something called our Pulse program. And this Pulse program helps give free consultation to the doctor to help them make sure that they succeed. And we do this for 18 to 24 months. The doctor can continue to work with us if they would like to in our post program, but we're here to serve the doctor. The other thing that's really important for the doctor to understand is post-transaction, right? Say post, that's after the close, is how am I banking going to be? And lots of banks do require or like to have the doctor having their operating account with the bank. Not necessarily a bad thing. I think it's actually an advantage to – it's in the doctor's best benefit to do that, because the more you have at a bank, the better relationship pricing you typically get. And it just makes it easy to do your banking rather than having multiple bank accounts, multiple online systems that you're trying to navigate from. So when someone asks you questions about, you know, your relationship and your bank account, well, you can just log on to your Huntington bank account and saying, okay, here's my loan, here's my account, here's how I make payments. It makes it really easy. So you want a bank account that has the technology, you know, like the online banking, the debit card, the mobile banking, and all our, we call our cash management needs to help you make deposits, help keep your accounts protected, and the ease of being able to go online and download statements for your accountant. Those are important. And also minimizing fees at the best. Nobody likes to pay fees. So Huntington devises their accounts. We make it simple. We make it easy. And we make that ability for the doctor to not pay a lot of fees. So we, you know, we have different types of accounts, and we try to match up the doctor with the best account so they can pay the least amount of fees. So that's one aspect of their banking, their consultation. But also, you know, who do I need to, you know, if I need someone to talk to, who do I go to? Well, at Huntington, we like to always say that you're always with our team. So when we do a loan, the doctor's still going to be able to have an actual person to talk to and not an 800 number. Now, we always do have an 800 number just, you know, in case they want to, but they're actually going to have a person. So I actually was speaking to somebody last night, and funny conversation is he was thinking about applying somewhere else. He actually does have a loan somewhere else, but he wants to expand on his practice. And I asked him, well, you know, is there any – how is your experience with your current bank? He goes, well, not, I don't have a problem. I just don't have anybody to talk to. And especially you, I'm talking to you at 9 o'clock at night, and I'm still, you know, receiving those phone calls. Now, again, am I going to speak to all bankers that do that? No, but it's something that I do, is I'd like to make myself available to doctors anytime. I know their lives are busy, so whether it's super early or super late, I understand their schedule is difficult, and sometimes, you know, they only have that 8 o'clock at night to kind of speak, you know, with their banker. But, you know, we want to make yourself available. Obviously, if a doctor is calling you late night, it's something important, and that's something just kind of like just, you know, waste your time on. So I think that's really important that, you know, doctors need to understand is when they're working with their bank. And also, you know, do they plan to expand more? Is that local bank that they're at able to not just do the one transaction, but maybe they want a second practice or maybe a third practice? Can my bank support me on my second or third acquisition? Something Huntington always, I always tell people that, you know, don't just look at the current state. Look at, you know, down the road. How's that process going to be? So I think those are important factors that many people need to think about.
Well, and you talk about current economic conditions and opportunities that come quickly. And let's think about residential real estate and sort of apply that to the purchase. I mean, the purchase and sale of homes, purchase and sale of dental practices, it's still an asset, still something that has a lot of moving parts to it. And there are people out there who have homes right now that are in high demand because inventory's short in a lot of places. And people will get calls and offers to buy and sell homes. And it's like, move quick, 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 quick. And people are getting financing, you know, who didn't even know that they were going to be in a situation where they were doing something different. This same concept I want to apply now to purchase and sale of a dental practice, where let's say that there's a dentist out there who says, I have an opportunity somewhere else in another location. I am going to hit that button and cash my chips out, get my money and go. And this other person here is coming along. So especially when things seem to be all over the place, you know, with everything going on right now economically and you know, with opening up after everything with Corona, I could see opportunities that show up for people that are very short, limited opportunities, quick action needed to be taken. So what, how does that, something that comes up often, and do you get questions like that in healthcare finance?
Absolutely. So, you know, let's rewind a little bit to kind of go back pre-COVID, right? So pre-COVID, you know, life is moving along really well for many people. You know, they're buying practices, they're selling practices, expanding their practice, and all of a sudden COVID happens. And the worst happens is that the economy shuts down. Dental practices literally shut down in Illinois for emergency services, which is completely, their business is going to go down 95% because they're not really open for anything hygiene or any other services inside the emergencies. So essentially for 2.5 months, dental practices were just shut down, which is, you know, really hard for a business owner to, you know, pay their bills. And a lot of people needed to, you know, work with their, and banks are doing really well about helping with deferring their payments. So that really helped. But it didn't look to the fact that they did lose business. And, you know, when you pull up the report and you look to see what their production or collection reports are, it's obviously going to be a lot less than prior year. And then especially if you're looking at a broker's perspective, when they're selling a practice, that, you know, do we sell it based on 2019 numbers? Do we sell it based on 2020 numbers? And also, at the same time, like, nobody knew what was going to happen. So as you can see, there was a lot of moving parts going on. Banks were like, okay, some banks didn't lend. You know, they kind of put a pause on things. And some continued to lend throughout the process. For the most part, most things got put on hold. Now, you know, going couple months into it, you know, people started to get protective equipment, so PPE equipment, like putting up the glass, you know, the plastic glass in front of the service desk, kind of protect, you know, the workers, putting on masks, just, you know, a lot of the hand sanitizers and everything. So doctors were preparing themselves to protect themselves and protect the clients at the same time. Once we got a handle of the situation a little bit better, starting June 1st, practices were opening up again. And confidence probably was really low at the time, but started to get, you know, back and back, better and better every day, I would say. So there were a lot of, you'd say a lot of people stopped buying practices because they didn't want to go into a situation and, you know, have a big loan out there that they just bought a practice that's not really producing like it used to be. So clients were asking me, you know, Sam, is it a good time to buy? Is it not a good time to buy? Well, there was more private practices on the market than I probably have ever seen in a long time. For the reasons being is many people were not buying as much practices. Many people were starting to retire because, well, you know, they probably were thinking about it, but maybe COVID kind of pushed them a little bit faster than they thought they were going to do, so they started to sell more practices. So there was a lot of practices out in the marketplace. You know, the other challenge out there was, how do banks finance a practice with, you know, the current situation? How do we look at it? And there's, you know, many different banks were looking at it many different ways, but essentially, you know, kind of looking at their monthly production and collection reports, looking at the history of the practice, looking at the doctor that's looking to buy, you know, we were able to, Huntington never stopped lending throughout the process, which is really great. Now, did they have as much volume? Probably not, just because people weren't making as many transactions at the time. But as we started to get out of COVID, like I said, there was a lot of practices, and I was encouraging, you know, those out there to look for those opportunities, because you're probably finding better practices now in the marketplace than you've ever seen before. So you might have a really great opportunity to get a practice that you are highly, you know, that's highly desirable out there in the marketplace. And the thing about dental practices is they're probably the best small business, privately practices to own. Why? Because even in a pandemic, they still do really well. Everybody still needs a dentist for, you know, cleanings and, you know, any kind of maintenance on their teeth and, you know, whether they're getting whitening or whatever it may be. Even in a bad economic time, they still hold up pretty well. So I was confident in the practices that if someone were to get into it, if they can get over the hump at the moment, they would find themselves in a really good practice. The other thing is, you know, is cash flow. A lot of these practices getting cash flow at the time just because they were closed for several months, and if we looked at profit and loss statements, you know, they were just out of whack. So we did a really good thing that Huntington is, you know, we like to look at how does a practice do post-COVID, and we were able to get a really good snapshot if we kind of looked at a lot of their monthly production collection reports from the fourth quarter of 2020 and doing the same and comparing them to 2019, and we can see that the practices did recover, and they're more closer to their 2019 numbers than they were the, you know, 2020 numbers. And that's some of the ways that we kind of looked at it and try to help clients understand it and how we thought it was the best way to kind of finance those practices.
You know, there's so much, there's so many things that go on with economic opportunities and what to do when all of a sudden your cash flow is interrupted. And I've heard so many different stories from different people. You know, my area is law, and I hear from lawyers who some of their buildings, they let them redo things on rent and renegotiate things. Others didn't. Some people did things that were just changed gears in order to keep, you know, keep the bills paid and keep things running. And I think that that's, you know, everything, every time I do another one of these podcast interviews with someone connected through healthcare, I'm seeing that there's so much innovation and ingenuity going on with helping people who help people and keeping the ball rolling and keep things going forward. So it's very good to hear positive news on the other end coming out of all this, that there's people who have taken advantage of professionals like yourself and others to really jump at opportunities and really increase their growth potential. We have a couple minutes left. Do you have any tips for long-term planning in increasing those practice revenues as our doctors, dentists, and veterinarians work towards their financial goals and their practices?
Yeah, so the one thing I would always say to anybody that's out there that's looking to potentially buy a practice, expand the practice, you know, when I sometimes approach clients and I would say, hey, do you have a minute to talk? Sometimes they would tell me, well, you know, I'm just started my search and I'll let you know when I find something. So I think that's always not the best process for a client, because the value that we add to clients is we have this initial discussion about what are you looking to do and how I can help you. One, I can educate the process. Obviously, we've done it a million times for clients. So we can introduce them to other partners in the field. We can help advocate for them as they're looking at different practices to purchase. Let us help you. We're here to serve you. We're not just here to do the actual financing part of it, but it's the value added that we can offer anybody that's beginning to start their search or just wants information on how that process works. There's many people out there and that can offer different perspectives on there, but when it comes to financing, the banker really is your first person to go to, believe it or not. Some people think of it as maybe the second or third part. We like to think of it as the first part, and not just because I'm a banker, it's just because I know the value added that I can give, as well as we're not charging you anything. So I would highly recommend look for a banking partner that does specialty financing and that's really good at it. Talk to your peers. You know, if you ever wanted to look me up, I'm the Chicago Dental Society classifieds. You can always get my information on there. And I'm just here to have a conversation and, you know, just trying to help doctors, you know, go to that next step.
Well, and especially as
appreciate
you talk about
all the time
finding the other people involved, let's chat a little bit, a minute, just a little bit about Michael Vifavia and Associates and everyone with his healthcare practice group. There's a whole network of people who meet there together on a regular basis, and it's all the other moving parts and all the other relationships.
Absolutely, and it's a great group that Mike has put together and kind of leads the group. He invited me to come in, and he's been super kind, and it's a great group that we all work well together. We help support each other. We look for the doctor's best interests and how we can best serve them, and it's a really great group of people that all have the doctors, you know, first in their hearts and their minds, and how can we better serve the community.
Right. So when someone comes in, they're talking to you, they're not only getting you, they're getting access to all the other people that it would take them years to put together and find. So that's why the key is being specialized and being the best at what you do, and that sounds like what you have to offer.
Absolutely. That is the number one advice out of this probably entire discussion. Is to let the experts help you. And, you know, once you find one person that you can build a relationship with, we can always introduce you to the team, and the team can help you be very successful. And I promise we will do everything in our power to make sure that you are successful.
All right, wonderful. For those who are listening and want to find some more information or start a dialogue with you, what are your best tips to get in touch, and what should they do?
I would always say they can contact me on my cell phone by calling or text me at 773-415-2999, or they can email me at my Huntington email address at sam.zanayet@huntington.com. I'm available to speak anytime you like, and I look forward to having that discussion with you.
All right. Well, Sam, thank you so much for taking some time today to talk about these issues. I know that there's a lot going on right now. We're all quite busy, but there's good news that there's all sorts of opportunities out there. Things are looking up. Progress is going. We're moving forward, and I thank you for your time. Thank you for all who listen to these podcasts. And find them on LinkedIn, Facebook, newsletter, or wherever. Please do be so kind. Like, share, and engage, and let other people know, because you just never know who out there is looking for exactly this type of information. Thank you again, Sam. I hope you have a great day.
Thank you so much, Nick, and thank you to Mike Favia, and thank you to the healthcare advisors for being such a great group and allowing me to be a part of them. You guys have a great day.
All right. Such a good thing. All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon, and everyone have a great day. Bye-bye now.